Dear family and friends, we have come into God's presence to join into marriage Andrew Lishman and Krista Vandermeulen. And in doing so, we seek to honor the will of God for marriage, the concern of the Christian church for its well-being, and the interest of the state in the orderly development of society. Today, Andrew and Krista leave their parents to establish a new home. Do you, Rick and Rhea, promise to give them your blessing, to uphold them in their pledge of love and fidelity to each other? Rick and Rhea, what is your answer?
We do.
And do you, Ian and Lena Vandermeulen, give your blessing to them and promise to uphold them in their pledge of love and fidelity to each other? Ian and Lena, what is your answer?
We do.
Who gives this woman to this man?
We do.
Go get her. There we go. The catechism is pretty clear. We have to be patient with our parents. So, well, good afternoon, beloved. From Sydney to Dunville, from New Zealand to Canada, from Toronto and the Niagara area, we're all gathered together in the presence of Almighty God for this amazing occasion. But we know that we're here because of Him, and we can do nothing without Him. So let me lead you in a word of prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we praise You for making and redeeming us to live together in love. And we thank You for the love and the trust which bring Andrew and Krista to this, their wedding day. Bless them with the honor of Your presence. Favor them and unite them with Your Holy Spirit, that together they may reflect the love of Christ for His church and the church's devotion to her Savior. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, moved by the Holy Spirit, to You, our Heavenly Father, world without end. Amen and amen. In front of you, you'll find the red songbooks that sing 429, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I got it in here. You're good. Oh, she is on. 429. Come thou fount. objections to this proposed union, and so it is fitting to call to mind the institution, purpose, and obligations of the marriage state as God has taught us in His holy word. The holy bond of marriage was instituted by God Himself in the beginning, and God made man after His own image, and He gave to him the blessing and the task to exercise dominion over all things. And He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And in so doing, God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." And so God created woman of man's own substance and brought her to the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ confirmed the blessedness of marriage, declaring it to be a lasting union when He said, "What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." The Apostle Paul shows the exalted significance of marriage when he calls the union of husband and wife a symbolic mystery of the union between Christ and His church. Thus, we learn that marriage is well-pleasing to God and most honorable to all who maintain it with mutual love and fidelity. In marriage, as instituted by God, a man and woman covenant to live together in a lifelong, exclusive partnership of love and faithfulness. If marriage is to be pleasing in the sight of God, those who enter into this covenant of life must share a common commitment to the Lord of life. In putting His blessing on marriage, God's purpose was to provide a context within which the husband and the wife can help, love, and comfort one another, and find mutual companionship before the Lord, a setting within which they may give loving and tender expression to the desires He gave to them for each other, a secure environment within which children may be born and taught to know and serve the Lord, and a structure that enriches society and contributes to its orderly function, and a relationship that serves to further His kingdom and bring Him glory. Indeed, when these purposes are prayerfully pursued in union with Christ, the kingdom of God is advanced, and the blessedness of husband and wife is assured. The institution and purpose of marriage also brings with it obligations for each partner. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul admonishes all Christians to develop mutual respect and love when he says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Then he applies this to marriage, and he instructs the wife to be subject to her husband as the church is subject to Christ, its head. He also instructs the husband to pattern his love for his wife after the example of Christ's love for his body, the church. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, and husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." In marriage, this requires that the husband and wife serve each other by providing the love, respect, and faith that will enrich their lives together and build a Christ-centered home. Our sinful and selfish tendency to break down what God has built threatens marriage with tensions, anguish, and even broken bonds. But people who marry in the Lord, however, may trust that He will lead them and graciously provide for their needs when they follow the biblical pattern for love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. Love never ends. To desire marriage is instituted by God and ordered according to His word, then, means that we may not enter into it carelessly or from selfish motives, but responsibly and prayerfully. It means that we must seek God's grace in order that we might faithfully fulfill the obligations and privileges of marriage, both in life's joys, and its trials. And now, Andrew and Krista, understanding that God has instituted, ordered, and blessed the holy union of marriage, do you affirm this biblical teaching, and do you commit yourselves to each other in accordance with it? Andrew, what is your answer?
I do.
And Krista, what is your answer?
I do.
May the Lord confirm the desire and purpose of your hearts, and may your beginning be in the name of the Lord, our Creator and our Redeemer. Amen. So now we will exchange the vows. Do you, Andrew Lishman, take Krista Vandermeulen to be your wife, and promise before God and all who are present here to be her loving and faithful husband? Will you love her and give yourself up for her, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? Do you promise to be true to her in good times and in bad, in riches and in poverty, in sickness and in health? And will you serve her with tenderness and respect and encourage her to develop the gifts that God has given her and never forsake you as long as you both shall live? Andrew, what is your answer?
I do.
And Krista, do you take Andrew to be your husband and promise before God and all who are present here to be his loving and faithful wife? Will you love her, him, and submit to him as the church loves and submits to Christ? Do you promise to be true to him in good times and in bad, in riches and in poverty, in sickness and in health? And will you serve him with tenderness and respect and encourage him to develop the gifts that God has given him and never forsake him as long as you both shall live? Krista, what is your answer? Andrew, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love and covenant established in Jesus Christ? And Krista, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love and covenant established in Jesus Christ?
I do.
Then according to the ordinances of the Church of Jesus Christ and the laws of Ontario, I now pronounce you Andrew Lishman and Krista Vandermeulen, husband and wife, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What therefore God has joined together, let no one separate. And from this day forward, as you travel down life's pathway together, may the Father of all mercies, who of his grace has called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you together in true love and faithfulness, and always grant you his blessing. Andrew, you may now kiss your bride. We're going to pray together, and at the end of that prayer, I'd like you to join me in the Lord's Prayer, and just so we're all doing the same thing, let's do the old languages with these and thous. So, let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we ask that you grant your blessing on this union of Andrew and Krista as husband and wife. We give you thanks for the vows that they have spoken to one another this afternoon, and their pledge of love and faithfulness in which they are now united. We pray that they would find your love and faithfulness to them a source of blessing for the promises that they have expressed. We pray that Jesus Christ will ever reign as the acknowledged head of their home and the master of their lives. Father, be gracious to them. Equip them with your Holy Spirit so they may walk together in patience and love and serve you and each other sacrificially. Work your grace in their marriage so that as husband and wife they may express the abiding kindness to one another, and grant them a lasting trust in Jesus Christ our Lord so that you are praised, whether in life's abundance and joys or in life's burdens and trial. May their home then be a place of joy and security, and in times of difficulty a haven of healing and forgiveness. May they and the children you may be pleased to bless them with give constant thanks to you. We pray, Father, that you would be pleased to bestow these blessings on them, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit, our eternal God, is blessed and exalted. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together. Beloved, shall we rise to do that? Number 181, beautiful words. Now thank we all our God. Let's pray that the Lord would bless the meditation and reading of His Word. Almighty God, we love You, and we've come before You this afternoon because You have done a mighty thing and an amazing thing in the life of Andrew and Krista. And Father in Heaven, they spent some time thinking about a passage they would like to begin their life together with. And Father, as we open up these words dear to You because You gave them, revealing Jesus Christ, who is the source of them, we pray now for the Holy Spirit who inspired them, that we may understand what they mean, who Jesus is, and how we may live before You as beings created by You for Your glory and honor, but then also how they apply to this special day and for the Lishman Union. And so, Father, we pray that You would bless us now as we open Your Word. Be with us and go with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to read with you from 1 John 4, beginning at verse 11 through 19. And if you're looking in your Bibles and you're not so used to the Bible, start from the back. Start from Revelation and then work forward. And then you'll get to Jude and then the three letters of John and the first letter of John right after Revelation. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We love because He, God, first loved us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. And then our text, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. So, beloved family and friends, but especially Mr. and Mrs. Lishman, beautiful words, really, to think about today. Even as we sit in this church building, for me, it's the first time to be in here, and it's just lovely and amazing, but it's not in its decoration more lovely and amazing than the people here who are gathered together. And that even that is not more lovely than those who love Jesus Christ. And it was a remarkable thing to sit with you, and I know that you worked with your own pastor and you went through these things, but when we went through the wedding form together there in St. Catherine's, we talked about who you were in Jesus Christ and how you came to the Lord. And how you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that out of that commitment you found one another. You know, granted, it's been, three decades, and I know Rick used to cry to me on the phone, do you think the boy will ever get married? I said, Rick, it doesn't fall too far from the kettle, does it? But the Lord knew, didn't He? He knew, right? So, Krista, I've been talking to your sisters, both in Sydney, and I look at you, Ian and Lena. I know this is a happy day for you, but it must be a little bit bittersweet, too, knowing that those three beautiful girls of you, you're going to have to travel to see them. And yet, you have raised three women in the fear of the Lord who have met three men in the fear of the Lord. Isn't God good? Isn't that a remarkable thing when you as parents, and you as parents can say, my kids love Jesus Christ. They love somebody who loved Jesus Christ. Isn't God amazing? From before the foundation of the world, He knew that a young guy from Jordan Station, the place to live, by the way, and a girl from New Zealand would find each other. How can this be? I asked Marian Bruning about it, and she said it was the Lord. Although the Lord used her too, didn't she? It's a remarkable thing. The way God moves in the world. Because sometimes people will say, where is He? Where is God? What happened? Why is the world so, I don't know, broken, fearful? You know, coming from Toronto, we see everybody is scared, scared of something, scared of COVID, scared of the economy, scared to be together now. Little children are scared to hug their grandparents because, well, what are you going to get sick? What's going on in the world? And even in the Church of Jesus Christ, it's been tense and there's been, heartache and brokenness. And you say, where is God? And then for a little moment today, on a Friday afternoon, the sun's starting to shine out there, and you hear people sing, come thou fount of every blessing. Now thank we all our God. And you go, God is in this place. So really your text is about where does God dwell? And then what does it mean when he dwells with his people? So where does he dwell? So the text really should start in verses 11 and 12. Then, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So we talked a little bit about the beginning of time. And we talked about the creation of man. And then we think about the human being created in the image of God. And what is the image of God? Well, the image of God is not a physical thing because God isn't physical. It's a spiritual thing, isn't it? It's, the Bible will say that we're being renewed in the image of God from Ephesians 4 and Colossians chapter 3 in true righteousness and holiness. And then the catechism adds to that, that we may rightly know God. So that when we fell into sin, we lost that true righteousness and we lost that pure holiness. But because of the work of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, slowly but surely, it's being built back together again. So one commentator talks about having a big picture mirror, and that when we fell into sin, somebody took a rock and just threw it in there and it busted all the glass out. But there were still shards. We still remain human beings. But when Jesus Christ entered into your hearts and into your lives, slowly but surely, he begins to build the mirror. And what do we see in the mirror? Now, it's not me I should be seeing in the mirror. It should be I'm beginning to see Jesus Christ in that mirror. So at the beginning of time, when Adam stands before Eve, and Eve stands before Adam, completely naked, they're so pure in their hearts, they go, Adam, I love you because I see Jesus in you. And Eve, I love you because I see Jesus in you. I see the love of God to human beings in you. And when we can get that in our marriages, when we can really see Christ in one another in the marriage, then we say Christ dwells there. Now, ultimately, you're going to find that in the church. That's what John is saying, that we are then the community of love. God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Now, he's not saying that love is perfect in the church, but the perfected means that he's moving it along towards its perfection. But if you're going to find love on the planet, and I know with all the love songs and everything you're going to say, or that the world says, sorry, the only place that we're going to ever find love is in the church. Because in the church, you'll find people who have been loved by God. So what John is saying is that the love that we need, and we're going to apply this to marriage in a minute, but we call it agape love. So agape love is unconditional love, sometimes they call it, but I think it's better to say it's God's love for the unlovable. There's no one in this room, and definitely including me, that deserves God's love, right? Why would God love me? There's nothing good about us. But he does. From before the foundation of the world, he chose to love us in Jesus Christ. He created you too. He created every one of you who's a Christian. Before the foundation of the world, he decided to create you to recreate you. And he recreates you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the power of Christ in you. And what is the greatest thing? Faith, hope, and love abideth these three, 1 Corinthians 13, but the greatest of these is love. When we believe that God has saved us, when we believe in him, we believe in his Son, the Spirit moves in our hearts and we begin to say, I am loved. God loves me. How amazing is that? To say, God loves me. And then he adds to it, Krista, I'm going to give you Andrew and he loves you. And Andrew, I'm going to give you Krista and she loves you. I don't know why, but she does. That's a remarkable thing. That's just grace added to grace. But I think, one of the joys of being with you, and in a little bit, experience, let's say, is you're looking for something a little bit different. The infatuation is a little different, isn't it? The idea of romantic love or Disney, it's a little different. It's, I need somebody who loves Jesus Christ to spend their life with me. And it was worth the wait, wasn't it? Definitely. And when that happens, I mean, Proverbs 31, who can find a good woman, right? But when you find her, grab her. Hold on to her. There's something special happening in that. That is the power of God on the earth. That there is this group of people who are willing to say that there is no love without God's love. And I know that love. And that love then permeates the church where I say, I love my brother. I love my sister. It's all through there, isn't there? It's utter hypocrisy for anyone here to say, oh, I love God and God loves me and everything's good, but I can't stand the elders of the church. I can't stand my wife. I can't stand that guy or this guy. It's brutal and utter hypocrisy. Because John says, I know. We know that we didn't deserve any love. So how can somebody else have to earn that love from me? Especially in the church. One of my professors at Calvin College, passed on to glory now, got in quite a bit of trouble in the class of about 40 of us when he said, only Christians can make love. And I remember it hit the fan. What do you mean? People who don't know Jesus Christ can't make love? He said, of course not. Because they don't know unconditional love. They don't know their husband or their wife as a sister and their brother, because that's the only place it belongs is in marriage. A brother wouldn't do that to a sister, and a sister wouldn't do that to a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if they do, they run to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. And then in marriage, two people loved by God, loving each other in God, they now can actually properly make love, because even in that, they're pointing them to Jesus Christ. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, should send your son to die for me? Do you see it humbles us? The idea is that we become servants. I need to serve my wife. I need to serve my husband. I need not to get, but to make love is to give it. And a remarkable thing and an amazing thing happens. We become confident. It's a remarkable thing that you chose this text, where it says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. So what does John mean? Well, he goes on and he says, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And that's why we begin with this idea of fear. How beautiful it will be. At the beginning, you'll move into Jordan Station, and then the four of you perhaps will find a place where you're going to be. And part of the reason that God has placed you where you are, whether it's at work, whether it's here in Canada now, whether it's in the neighborhood you're going to be, is because he is going to put people who are confident, who are without fear, in their neighborhoods. I don't know if we think about that as Christians enough, because we are the, oh man, the economy's going bad and Canada's a mess and look at what the prime minister's doing and we're killing our unborn. And we can get downright angry about it, frustrated about it, vulgar about it. But deep down, isn't it fear? Do you think God doesn't have a house for you to live in? Don't be scared. Do you think that God's not going to provide for you what you need? Don't be scared. Why? Because the greatest thing that you need, you already have. The love of Almighty God, which he is going to say to all of you who love Jesus Christ. You stand before him on judgment day or upon your death, but I love you. And Jesus will step in the gap and say, Father, you gave them to me and I died for them. There is no punishment for them. I mean, it is an interesting text to bring at a wedding. Because the punishment, of course, is eternal hell, damnation and wrath. But the Christian doesn't have to worry about that anymore. We are loved. God is not going to cast his children into hell. Come to heaven and be with me. Come to the new heavens and the new earth and be with me. I love you. So what do we have to fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? But you know, that's the devil. The devil gets us scared. And when you're scared, we get paralyzed, don't we? Scared people get paralyzed. We can't do anything because, oh, if I do that, I might get hurt. If I kiss grandma, I might get COVID. If you have COVID and you kiss me and I get COVID and I die, you did me a favor. I'm going to heaven. What are we scared of? I got a Muslim across the street. He says to me, Al, you guys believe in heaven. I believe in paradise. What's the big deal? I said, Malik, can I use that? I can't quote you on it because you're Muslim. But otherwise, it's a remarkable thing. We do not need to be afraid. Discerning? Absolutely. Warning? Absolutely. But when we work from the place of confidence, can you see what a difference that will make for your marriage? Oh, Andrew didn't talk to me today. Does he love me? Or, you know, or she's been a little bit down or whatever. What's going on? You bring it back to the Lord in prayer. We have this love. We are loved. He's going to take care of us. It's going to be right. Not all right, because that's just like, oh, it will be right with God. We may not understand it, but this marriage now is not just part of bringing us together this afternoon to hear this, or to get me to work on this week and just being thrilled about this text and what it means for my own life. But now what it means for you two who love the Lord to be absolutely confident to say, why did you wait till you got married? Why did you two get married in a church? Why, Krista, why in the world would you say that you'll submit to Andrew? Because I love the Lord. That we will have no more fear. Because maybe that's the biggest, it is the biggest problem we have, I think, as Reformed people with evangelism, isn't it? We're just dead scared. We're so scared to talk about the greatest thing that ever happened in our lives, which is love. Why? Because the devil, I don't say it the right way, or I might not say it properly, or I might not be reformed enough. Yeah, you probably aren't. And we will say it the wrong way. But how great is God? Right? So that now, even in your marriage, and as you just walk through in this amazing, wonderful, godly example of the love of God that's now exhibited in the way you two live with each other, and then you take your part in your churches together, and then all of you, as we, you know, celebrate tonight, and as we do whatever we do, and then get back to our churches and our community, you need to be confident. Because can you imagine saying, well, you know, and sometimes people will do this, well, if you don't love Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Don't work with a place of fear. Do you want to live forever? Do you want to know who God is? Let me tell you about the love of God in our own lives. Let us work from the place of the confidence that we have. We can warn them, but not to create fear. And certainly not to create doubt, right? Because doubt is the absolute opposite of faith. And we know people who almost say, well, you can't be sure of your salvation. How can that be faith? If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if God so loved the world that whoever loved him has eternal life now. Then 1 Corinthians 13 even goes on to say, you know, we look in a mirror darkly or dimly, but then we will know face to face. And what Paul goes on to say, we do not even know how really, genuinely, amazingly loved we are. But when we die and go to heaven, or when Jesus Christ comes again, we will really understand it. When we see Jesus with those holes in his hands and his feet, and we think, he died for me. When we have sin removed and the pollution moved out of our heads, we'll actually go, I never had a clue how deeply loved I am. So you want to find that love on earth, beloved? Go to church. And any of you who are single, find someone who goes to church, who loves the Lord, and love them and let them love you. And now, Andrew and Krista, God has said to you, I'm giving you a little taste of heaven. That this place will offer a foretaste of the eternal home. Now, we laughed about that because if the form always makes it seem like, and the marriage, you know, will offer a foretaste of the eternal home, and we always think of heaven. It can offer the foretaste of the other one, too. You've probably been at a house, you're going, I don't need to go there again. But if you can embrace this love of God and express it to one another, for the rest of your lives, you're going to have that little taste of the wonder of the glory of God. Andrew, lead Krista in that. Because then Ian and Lena can be sure she's going to be okay. She will be in good hands, not because she's in your hands, because he's in his hands. And then you both, as you head to Australia or New Zealand, you can understand that God loves them. And those two daughters and the family in Sydney too. and you both. And you know what? We won't even remember stepping on the dress. We'll just keep on. Well, maybe not. But we will keep on moving because now we got a story to tell my brother. God loves us. God loves us so much that if Jesus Christ would come down right now, let me ask you, what would you do? Because a lot of people in that neighborhood out there are going to go, oh my, what's going on? They'll run and they'll hide. But what will you do if Jesus Christ came right now? I hope all you're going, yes, he's here. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But until then, let us love one another that our joy may be fullest, the promise of Almighty God. Be a blessing to one another in marriage. May you all be a blessing of love to one another tonight, and then go back to your homes and your churches and let the world know that we are confident before the Lord. We are the place where God dwells in his great and amazing love, and that we are the people of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we worship and we adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Let us be people of love. And Lord, we pray that you would move in our hearts. Lord, where there is not faith, give us faith. And where there is faith, help our unbelief. For Father, we are cowardly sometimes and we're scared sometimes and we're sorry, we're human. But you knew that. And that's why you need to change us. But Father, if we are filled with that power of love, and Lord, we will not head to different things or look to each other to provide joy and happiness. But we pray, Lord, as Andrew and Krista have promised that they will lead each other to Christ, so we will do that now too. Go with us, be with us, abide with us. And Lord, let us love one another that our joy may be full, that your name may be praised, and others may see in us the people of love, the people of God. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Let's sing one more time, and in your red books, 265 in Christ Alone. the elder from Dunville to present the wedding Bible?
It's probably safer that you're up there than I don't step on your dress. So, Andrew and Krista, congratulations. It's been a pleasure getting to know you over the last little while, Andrew, and Krista over the last couple of years. Andrew, visits with you are enjoyable. I don't have to say a whole lot. You have a lot of stories and they keep coming. But I have come to admire and commend you for the love and care that you show to your family and especially your dad. God has blessed you with a caring heart. Krista, it's been quite a journey, geographically, emotionally, and spiritually. Isn't it amazing how God brings together two people from across the world to begin a Christian home together? I know, too, that you've gone through emotional and spiritual struggles. I think you've learned some patience and trust in God. And yet the journey's not done. You're starting a new chapter. Now it's together that you will need patience and trust in God. And that is wonderful because He's always there for you. And lean on Him. Krista, I know how much you like to be the center of attention, so I'm trying to stretch this out. But on your wedding day, being a beautiful bride, you had to expect that you would be the focus, but not the complete focus. Yes, Andrew's handsome too, but the ultimate focus is on God and what He has done and what He's doing today. He has begun a new Christian home. Marriage is a beautiful reminder that we are the church and we are the bride of Christ and we are the focus of His attention. His love, His sacrificial love, what a Savior. God has also given us His special revelation, His Word. So on behalf of the Council of Grace Reformed Church, I give to you God's Word, that it may be an open book, a treasure in your home, that together you will read it, cherish it, and grow in your faith and knowledge of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Reading God's Word will also allow you to grow more in what you've already learned about being a leader in your home, that head of your home and a husband, and Krista, a wife and helpmeet to your husband. We pray that God may richly bless you and that you may serve Him with a life of gratitude. Congratulations and God bless.
Well, Andrew and Krista, especially Krista, it's done. You can take a deep breath. You're married. Go in Christ. No more fear. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Andrew and Krista Lishman.